Begin the current daf Masechtas Pesachim, daf Yud Gimel. Begin two lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara goes and now elaborates on the halachic psak of the Mishnah that we had on daf Yud Aleph and Beis. There we had a machlikus regarding the zman of when one should stop eating chametz. Although min haTorah, the Issa D'Oraisa, is only from after the sixth hour and on Erev Pesach that it's asa to eat chametz. However, we had a three-way machlikus up until midrabanon when one is allowed to eat chametz. We had the opinion of Remeir who said one can eat chametz up until the end of the fifth hour and then the beginning of the sixth hour begin burning the chametz. We had the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda who said that at the end of the fourth hour one should stop eating chametz. The fifth hour, toilin, you don't eat but you don't burn. And then the beginning of the sixth hour is when you begin to burn. And then we had the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel who said something in the middle of some sorts that he said, regarding chulin, then we eat up until the end of the fourth hour. But regarding truma, then we go up until the end of the fifth hour. So now the Gemara goes and says the halachic psak regarding this machlekes. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, that he says that we're toilin, that we suspend it the entire fifth hour, not like Remeir that we consume it, but we don't burn it yet. Rather, we can feed it to our animals. However, we do not eat from after the fourth hour. The Gemara asks on Rav Nachman, Amalei Rabbi Rav Nachman, V'neima mar halacha k'Rabbi Meir, why do you say that? You say halacha follows like Rabbi Meir, who says we can consume the chametz the entire fifth hour. And the reason is, because we have an anonymous Mishnah, which generally that's an indicator of Pesach. That's like Rabbi Meir. It's not like we have a Mishnah later on that says, Koshosha mutter lechel machel. As long as one can eat the chametz, one can feed the chametz to one's domesticated animal, wild animals, and to birds. Now the inference is that when one is not allowed to eat the chametz, then one cannot feed it. And if you would say the halacha would follow like Rabbi Yehuda, but you have the fifth hour where the person is not allowed to eat, yet he can feed it to his animals. So obviously that tana is going like Rabbi Meir that says that you could eat up until the sixth hour, and from that time on you cannot eat, nor can you feed, because that's when we begin to burn. So why do you say the Psak Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda when it seems that anonymous Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir? And that the Gemara answers, Hahi lav stamahu. That Mishnah is not an anonymous Mishnah which is indicating the Psak of like Rabbi Meir. And the reason is, Mishum dekashi muta, because there is a difficulty in the terminology using that Mishnah, which seems to indicate that that's not really Remeir's Psak, but rather like Rabbi Gamliel's Psak. As Rashi tells us, in Perek Kol Shoh, the Gemara asks, that truthfully, the terminology over there should have said that Kol Shoh Sha'eichel, as long as you eat, Meichel, you could feed. Why does it use the terminology of Mutter? As long as it's permitted for you to eat, then it's permitted for you to feed. That sounds like, as the Gemara there says, that as long as it's permitted for somebody to eat, not that you eat, it's permitted to be eaten, which means someone else could eat it, then, but for you it's forbidden to eat, then you can go ahead and feed it to the animal. And therefore, based on that difficulty of the as the Gemara there demonstrates, that why does it say the word mutter, the Gemara says that it seems to be like Rabbi Gamliel. And what the statement of that Mishnah is saying, that as long as it's permitted for a koyin to eat the truma, which is in the fifth hour, which is as we quoted Rabbi Gamliel's opinion in our Mishnah, on David Alf, that he says that truma can be eaten at the fifth hour, although regular chulin for Yisrael could only be eaten up until the end of the fourth hour, then at that time, in the fifth hour, then a Jew can feed his chulin to his animal. And therefore, you did not have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Meir, because it technically could be just as easily the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. Then the Gemara asks, "V'neima mar halacha k'Rabbi Gamliel." But then, let's say the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel of our Mishnah, not based on the Mishnah later on. This Tosfos demonstrates it could be either Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Meir, but rather the Havalei Machria. The reason why we should say the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel is because he is the decisor in between the two opinions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and that is regarding like Truma, he says like Rabbi Meir, that one can eat it up until the end of the fifth hour. Now regarding Chulin, there he says like Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, as we know throughout Shas, there's something called a Machria, which is if there is one opinion saying one way, and another opinion saying another way, and the third opinion says like one in one area, we're going to say the halacha is two against one. And here, he's like, he will make two against one in each one of his opinion. In regards to Truma, he's like one opinion, which is like Rabbi Meir, that up until the end of the fifth hour in regards to Chulin, he's like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore he should be the one that decides the halacha, because here in whatever he's saying, there's another one saying his opinion, at least in regards to what he's saying of Truma or Chulin, so it's two against one, and therefore the halacha should be like Rabbi Gamliel, who is the Machria. And that the Gemara answers a fundamental understanding of what it means, the halacha is like the Machria. So Amalei, so he responded, Rabbi Gamliel love Machriahu. Rabbi Gamliel is not defining the tipping scale of each opinion. Rather, Tam Dinafshe Kama, he's saying his own third individual opinion, which means to say it's one and one and one, not two against one in either opinion, as Rashi explains. As the Gemara there later says in Nafchaf Aleph, that a third opinion is not considered a machria that will define it and say that now he's joining up with one to be two against one. Because what essentially Reb Gamliel is that he's a third opinion, because Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, they're not talking about anything to say that, oh, there would be any differentiation between the time of when Truma is eaten or when the time of Chulun is eaten. And that is as Rashi says, had the Mishnah said in the time of terminology, the Reb Meir says whether it be Chulun or whether it be Truma, you can eat it the entire fifth hour. And Reb Yehuda would have said that whether it be Chulun or whether it be Truma, you could eat only up until the end of the fourth hour. And then Reb Gamliel would come along and say, wait a second, depends. Chulun is the entire fourth hour and Truma is the entire fifth hour. That would be considered Hachra, which means to say, in exactly what they're arguing about, he defines and says that I'm joining up with this one and this one and this one and this one. Therefore, the halacha falls like me, because whatever I'm saying, I have two against one. But now that either opinion of Reb Meir and Yehuda did not mention anything regarding Truma and Chulun, therefore they didn't reveal that there is any inkling to think that there is such a difference, Reb Gamliel's opinion is not Hachra, rather it's an independent third opinion that he's creating this differentiation between Truma and Chulun, and therefore we don't say that regarding that he's like that and regarding that he's like that. Rather, he's his own independent opinion, and therefore that's not a reason to say the halacha follows Reb Gamliel. He's just as an individual opinion, as is Reb Meir and as Reb Yehuda. So that was one approach to say why, when we're explaining in Rav Nachman that he says halacha is like Reb Yehuda, that although it seemed like there's a stam mishnah, that was the question we had in him, like Reb Meir, we said no, not true. It could be like Gamliel, and we don't pass it necessarily like Gamliel because there's not an element of machri over here. But then the Gemara says v'ibay same, another reason why you could answer why although it seems that there's a stam mishnah like Reb Meir, why is the Rav passing like Reb Yehuda? Because Rav d'amikai tana, is Rav was following tanya. Tana, who essentially says the same halacha like Reb Yehuda of our Mishnah, and that's why he followed the opinion of Reb Yehuda. The Tana Glinna Braisa. Arba Asr Shchalis B'Shabbos, regarding the 14th of Nisan, in other words, Erev Pesach, that happens to be on Shabbos, that it means Pesach starts on Matzah Shabbos on Sunday. So the halacha is Mevarnes HaKoyim Lefnei HaShabbos. You burn, since you can't do it on Pesach, on Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach, which is when you usually burn the Chametz, so you burn it on Erev Shabbos 2 days before Pesach. And similarly, B'Seif and Trumas, you burn all the Trumas, whether they be Temeis, if they're going to be richly impure, or Teluyas, those are things which are, it's a suffix, it's doubtful if they're Tamei or Tar, Vitahiris, or things that are Tar. Either way, we're going to burn everything, whether the Chulin or Truma, on Erev Shabbos. However, Meshayim and Atahiris, Mazon Shtei Sudas, you leave over from the Tar Truma enough for 2 meals worth on Shabbos, and not 3 as Rashi says, because although generally on Shabbos you eat Shalosh Sudas, but those are usually eaten in the evening, in the morning, and afternoon. And Erev Pesach, it's forbidden to eat from the time of Mincha. In other words, when the Shalosh Sudas is usually eaten, you can't eat it anymore, so therefore you only leave over 2 meals worth. K'dei lechel ad dal shoy, so that you could eat up until the fourth hour on Shabbos morning. Divrei Rebbe Elazar ben Yehuda ish partusa sh'amam mishum Rebbe Yehuda. That was said in the name of Rebbe Yehuda. So therefore you see, and this is going to be the idea of the proof, why Rav Paskin halachas like Rebbe Yehuda, because here you see that this Tanya in the Braisa clearly says, like Rebbe Yehuda's opinion, that the chametz is eaten, even regarding Truma, not like Rebbe Gamliel, is only eaten up until the end of the fourth hour and not in the fifth hour. However, the Gemara continues explaining the Braisa, the Amuloi. So they said to Rebbe Elazar ben Yehuda, Tahiris lo yisrifu. No, you don't burn Truma Tahira at all. And the reason is, since the actual time of eliminating the chametz didn't come yet, it only comes on Shabbos after the noon. So even though you have enough left over, that you saved as much food as necessary for all the kahanim that are there, you still leave over all the Truma. Maybe you might find other kahanim that are guests that will come over that will eat it, and therefore we don't want you to go ahead and proactively go ahead and destroy the truma. And if you don't end up finding kahanim to eat it, so then you'll feed it to the dogs of the kahanim, or you'll nullify it in your heart, and therefore that will be a way to eliminate the chametz in the case of truma. But don't go ahead before the actual time that you have to, because we don't want to destroy truma tahira if we don't have to. So Amalehem, Sir Belaz responded to them. They already searched and they didn't find. In other words, whatever this hishtadlis that he could have done, due diligence, he already did. He checked beforehand all the kahanim in town. And on Shabbos, no other guests are coming, because he already knows everybody in the city that could come. And he already figured out that this is way too much truma that I have over here. Therefore, Beloved says, yes, you burn it on Erev Shabbos, because what's the point of holding on to it? It's not going to go anywhere anyway, so why should I do that? So Amarloi, they said to him, no, Shemachutz l'chaim alonu. Maybe the kahanim that are guests, maybe they slept outside of the city walls, which is still within the boundaries of the city, and therefore tomorrow they're going to come on Shabbos because it's within the tchum, and therefore they will be kind of, they're going to eat it. So Amlahem, so he responded to them, L'divreichem, so according to what you're telling me, that you're concerned about these maybes, that maybe Kahanim slept outside and maybe they're going to come and then there's going to be Kahanim to give them food. So then why don't you argue also, why are you arguing only regarding Tahiris, which you said that, oh, we don't burn the Tumah Tahira before the designated time because maybe you're going to have to do something with it. Then even the Tumah that there's doubt regarding them, that we suspend it, we don't eat it, but we don't burn it. And why do we burn that before this man? Why are you only arguing regarding Tumah Tahira, say even regarding Tluyas? And the reason being is Shema, like you're saying, maybe Shema Yav Eliyahu, maybe Eliyahu HaNavi will come today or tomorrow before the time of when we have to eliminate the chametz, be a time, and he's going to purify them because he's going to say, you know what, Tumah never touched these things, which is why we say Tayyum. We're not sure, it's a suffix. He'll come, Eliyahu HaNavi will tell us he knows, and we'll be able to eat it. So if you're so concerned about all the maybes, maybe the Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come, and therefore we shouldn't burn even the Tumah that's Tayyum. Amulai, they said to him, no, that Shema, you're right, we're concerned about Shemas, but that one's impossible. Because Kvar Muftech Lehen L'Yisrael, it was already guaranteed to the Jewish people, She'en Eliyahu Bo, Loi Ba'Arv Shabbos, the Eliyahu Navi is not going to come, not on Erev Shabbos, V'Loi Ba'Arv Yom Tovim, and not on Erev Yom Tov either, and today is Erev Shabbos, and tomorrow is going to be Erev Yom Tov, and the reason being why he's not going to come is because of the exertion, that because people are prepared, busy, preparing for the meals of Shabbos, and they're going to get busy with Eliyahu Navi, and they're not going to be able to properly prepare for Shabbos, therefore he's not going to come. So that's not an option, and that's why, regarding the Tumah that's Tylin, that we will say that you could burn because that's not going to be an option. But Tumah Tahira, where there is a possibility, we don't want you to burn it before you have to. However, regarding the conclusion of this machlekes amr, they said leizazu misham, that they did not move from there at shakava halacha kerelazib and Yehuda ish batusa sha'amim b'shem b'shu. That the conclusion of this machlekes was that they passed in like kerelaza that we do burn the chametz before Pesach, and that is before Shabbos. We don't wait till the zman of beer on afternoon of Shabbos. Rather, we burn it before. So the Gemara says, and this is what's supposed to be the proof for Rav saying the halachos like Rabbi Yehuda, that my lav afil alechel. Doesn't it make sense that when it says that they paskin like Rabbi Elazar Ishbartusa, that was regarding everything that he said in that statement, that they said halachos like him, even regarding what he had mentioned, which we had noted, that the time of eating, even Truma, is only up until the fourth hour, and that is like Rabbi Yehuda, and that is why Rav said the halach is going to be, that Rav Nachman said the halach is going to be like Rabbi Yehuda. That the Gemara says, no, I'm Rav Papa, Mishmei Dirava, Loi, Lavar. That this, that we said the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar Ishbartusa, was only regarding the time of Bir Chametz. That is where the others had argued in him and says that you don't burn the Tyrus until tomorrow. That is what we said in the halacha like Rabbi Elazar, that the time of the burning is from before Shabbos on the 13th. However, regarding that which we said, that whatever is left over that you want to eat, up until that, he said up until the fourth hour, which are the two meals on Shabbos, that we do not paskin like him. Rather, regarding that, we do paskin that it's eaten up until the fifth hour, which would be like Rabbi Gamliel, or possibly even like a mayor, regarding who he says even Rechulin, and not necessarily that the halacha would follow like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore there's no such a proof. And therefore there is no conclusive proof from this, that's why Reb Nachman would say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, because you have a brayse that says like that, because not true. Maybe this statement that we said the halacha is like this Tana was not regarding the time of when you could eat up until, which would be like Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe in that regard, we only paskin like Reb Gamliel or Reb Meir, and this that we said halacha is like him was only regarding that you burn it on Erev Shabbos, and you don't wait to burn the Tumah Tahira on to eliminate it on Shabbos itself. However, the Gemara does say, V'af Rebbe Saval Hod Rav Nachman, even Rebbe held like Rav Nachman, that the halacha does follow like Rebbe Yehuda. Again, either according to either version of the why Rav Nachman, the name of Rav, says the halacha is like Rebbe Yehuda. But either way, Rebbe seems to say the same thing. Damar Rav and Bar Rav Ado, Ma'isabod Mecha, there was an episode with a certain individual, Shehifkid Disakaya, that he had deposited a Disakaya, which is comprised of two different words, which is di, sakaya, di, du, means two sacks, which was the amtachas, which was the saddlebag made out of leather, that was malei chametz. He deposited this saddlebag, these double saddlebags that was filled with chametz, etel yoichanan chakuka, which was his nickname, v'nikvu achbar, and then mice made a hole in that saddlebag. V'hi chametz mevatzvetz v'yoytze, and now chametz was coming out. It was losing the chametz that was inside of it. And it was on the 14th of Nisan, which was at a time when chametz was very cheap, because obviously it's about to be Pesach and nobody wants their chametz. Ubalifnei Rebbe, and he came in front of Rebbe to know if he should sell it because of the loss of the one who had deposited by him because it was getting ruined based on what the mice had done to it. So Shari Shaino Amalei Hamtin. The first hour he told them, wait. In other words, maybe the owners are going to come and they're going to eat it, and therefore don't sell it at a loss. He'll be able to enjoy the full pleasure of it by coming to consume it. Shni Amalei Hamtin. The second hour of the day he said, still wait. Shlishis Amalei Hamtin. The third hour again he said, still wait. Revius Amalei Hamtin. The fourth hour of the day he said, wait. Chamishis, when it reached the fifth hour, which was at that time when you cannot eat it anymore, then he said, go ahead and sell it in the marketplace, which at least at that time, there's still a heter of hanah, as that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which is that you cannot eat it on the fifth hour, but you could still feed it to your animals. You could sell it and get derived pleasure from it. So on this, the Gemara says, to prove that Rabbi, in this episode, held like Rav Nachman, which is like the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, that my lav l'nachrim, wasn't it that he was saying, sell it at the fifth hour, because now there's no other options for the owner, and although up until now he could have held off his losses, now it will be a total loss, that he's saying, sell it to non-Jew, Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda, which is in the fifth hour, where you cannot eat it anymore, but there's still the option of toilin, and that is that you could sell it to others. However, the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yisrael Loi. Rabbi Yisrael says, no, there's no raya from here that Rebbe held like Rabbi Yehuda. Li Yisrael, we're talking about that it was in the fifth hour that you could sell it to a Jew, Kremeya, like Kremeya, who says that we could consume it up until the end of the fifth hour. What Rebbe was telling this person was, that if you're going to wait past this hour, of the fifth hour, then you're not going to find any Jews to sell to. And therefore, go ahead and sell it now, where at least some Jew is going to buy it, and he'll be able to eat a good breakfast and utilize it before it's too late. However, there's no proof that's indicative that he held like Rabbi Yehuda. And that the Gemara asks, I'm Le'abaya, Eli Yisrael, if you're saying that it's like Rabbi Meir, and therefore in the fifth hour he was saying sell it off so that at least a Jew could buy it, Nishkalei Nafshei, let him take it for himself, let him eat it, and then he'll pay the owner the amount of the deposit that was by him. Why does he have to go through all the effort and go to the marketplace and to sell it? If there's the right to sell it, let him just go ahead and use it himself. And then the Gemara says, no, that's not a question on Rabbi Yisrael. Mishum Chashada, because of suspicion. The time like it learned a braisa that says this idea. Gabi Tzedakah, the one who's in charge of the collection and the dispensation of the charity, she'en lehem anim l'chalek, that they don't have any poor people to give out the small coins that they have. So parton, they would go ahead and they would exchange the copper coins that they had collected for tzedakah, because if they hold on to it, it's going to get rusty. So they would change it in for larger silver coins. They would do that only l'acheir, for other people, ve'im parton l'atzma, but they would not be able to take their own coins and change it in for the coins of the tzedakah because of the suspicion that they wouldn't be giving a proper exchange rate for the tzedakah money that they have. Similarly, Gabi Tamchi, the one who's in charge of the platter, which was the plate that they had for bread and all different types of food that they would collect from all the homeowners, they would go around collecting food, and they would give it out to people to eat on that day. If they don't have any more poor people to go out and give out the food to, but they have a bunch of food, they sell to other people, but they do not sell to themselves. Again, because people might suspect them that they're buying at a very low rate and they're doing it at a disadvantage to tzedakah. So they themselves are not allowed to buy. And the reason being is, Mishum Shenem, it happens to be a pasuk in Bamidbar that says, that you should be innocent from Hashem and from the Jewish people. We don't want to put ourselves in a situation where people will suspect us. Oh, he's the Gabbai Tzedakah and he's taking the exchange of the copper coins and the silver coins. He's doing it for himself, and similarly regarding all the food, he's doing it at a very below wholesale price. Therefore, we don't sell it to ourselves, sell it to others. That's the reason why it's not a question why, if it was even like Reb Meir, that you could sell it to a Jew, that he himself cannot take it and he would have to sell it to other people. However, ultimately, the Gemara is daicha what Rav Yosef had, his interpretation of the story, that he said, oh, it's not a raya that Rebbe held like Rav Nachman, that halacha is like Rav Yehuda, it could be held like Rav Meir. And then the Gemara says, only Rav Adabai Masin, Rav Yosef. Beferish Amritlan, explicitly you had told us that the terminology was used from Rebbe, Tseyu Marchul Anachrim Ker Rebbe Yehuda. They go ahead and sell to non-Jews like Rebbe Yehuda, and therefore ultimately it is a raya like Rav Nachman, that Rebbe himself had passing like Rebbe Yehuda, and that is, as Rashi explained, that Rav Yisrael had gotten ill, and he forgot his teachings, and at later time, when he would mix up what he had originally said, his students would remind him that, Rebbe, this is not what you taught us originally, you taught us originally this, and in this fashion, is that they had told Rebbe Yosef that although you're being daicha, that it's not doesn't seem to be indicator that he holds like Rebbe Yehuda, it could be holds like Remeya, but originally you told us explicitly that it was an indicator that he holds like Rebbe Yehuda, that the halacha is that one can eat only up until the end of the fourth hour, and toilim chamishin, he was telling him to sell it to non-Jews. Now, regarding this episode that we just mentioned, Amar Rav Yosef, said, Kaman azla hoshmaita de Rebbe. Who is Rebbe going like when they gave this halacha, this psak, to sell off the deposit because it's getting lost? The mice had chewed a hole in the saddlebags, it's getting ruined, and therefore he says, let him cut his losses and sell it off. Who is this like? And that the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef says, it's like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion that now, like we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Bat Metzia. Hamafkid Peiris Eitz Chaver, if someone deposits produce by his friend, Afil Ehein Avudin, so the first Tana holds, the Tana Kama holds, even if they're getting lost, that is continuously you see there's something getting ruined of the produce, Leigman, you don't touch it, it's a deposit, this is he deposited, but you keep it as it is, even if it's getting lost, you don't touch it. However, he argues, Moichim Bezdin, you sell it in Bezdin. Because just like if you see a lost item of someone, you have an obligation to return it to him. This is the same situation where it's getting lost. You have to return it to him. How do you return that in this situation? You sell it off so that he can hold on to his money that was given to you in the form of a deposit. And therefore, it seems to be that this statement of Rebbe was like Moichim Gamliel, that you want to sell off the chametz before it totally gets ruined. However, the Gemara says, no, Amalei Abaya. And not necessarily that this statement of Rebbe was just like Rav Shimon Gamliel, not like Tana Kama, because Velavit Maralah, didn't we explain regarding that Mishnah Bar Metziah that Amar Rabbi Bochan Rabbi Yechanan Lo Yishanu, we did not teach, we did not learn this opinion of the Tana Kama, that we do not sell, rather we leave it as it is, that Ella, that's only, we continue on to Amid Beis, Bechtei Chisroinen, when the loss is only according to what was something that's expected type of a set price that we would expect it to get lost, as the Gemara in Bava Metzia there explains in Daf Mem, that regarding wheat and for rice, that would be 9 half a kavan for every kur. That's when the Tanna Kamma says you don't sell it because that's a depreciation that you could put into the fact of the deposit. But even the Tanna Kamma would agree that if it's going below even what we would expect in the loss of a deposit, then we do sell it on Bezin, and therefore, Vakoshkin Hacha, definitely in this case, which is what Rebbe had Paskin regarding the Hapsidi Lagamri, because it's here, it's totally going to get a total loss, because once Pesach starts, it's Asabahana, because Chametz is Asabahana, and therefore, even the Tanna Kamma would agree, and therefore, it's not only that Rebbe was like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, everybody would agree in this case that we sell off the deposit. Now the Gemara continues, quoting from our Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph, that the Oidam Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yehuda says, even more so, to prove my halacha, Naliku Remeir, that we're only allowed to eat chametz up until the end of the 4th hour, and the 5th hour is toilet, and you begin burning at the beginning of the 6th hour. He says, Shtei chalas v'chulu, there was these two chalas that were puzzled in the Beis HaMikdash, and to demonstrate this halacha, at the end of the 4th hour, they would take away one, which will show you can't eat. At the end of the 5th hour, take away both, to show that then you begin to burn. So you see, in the Beis HaMikdash, they demonstrated, like the halacha like me, that at the end of the 4th hour, you stop eating, and the 5th hour is toilet. So the Gemara says that Tana Tana Kamed Rav Yehuda. There was a brisa that was said in front of Rav Yehuda that said Al Gavha Itzdaba, that these breads that were placed there in the Beis HaMikdash were on top of the benches. Amalei, which sounds like on the bench itself. So Amalei, so Rav Yehuda said to the one that was teaching him the brisa, V'chilat Znin Hutzarech, do you think that the breads are there to be hidden? The purpose of putting the breads there were to be shown for everyone, that everyone could see it. So rather, Tani al gag ha'itztava, read that it wasn't on the bench, which is al gavet, so rather read on top, on the roof of the bench, which there was a roof there that was built on top because of the rain to protect those who were sitting over there. So it's put on the roof of the benches, and therefore that's to show people that they could see at a very high point that to see these two chalas when they're there and when they're taken away from. Regarding this itztava that was there in the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara describes, Amr Rechava, Amr Bihuda, Har Habayis, the Temple Mount, Stiav Kafel Haya, it was a double-benched perimeter. And that is, we had these benches going around in a circle, and within that perimeter was another bench going around. And that these were the benches that we were talking about that were there, that they would put on the roof of the benches so everyone could see where it is. Tanya Mahacha, similarly, we learned in the Braisa, Har Habayis, Stiav Kafel Haya, that the Temple Mount was surrounded by a perimeter of double benches. Yehuda, he says regarding this, that istavanas hisnikras, it was called a storefront bench, which is tiyav lefnim mistav, which is a bench within a bench. And that was, again, as we demonstrated, what was where the lechmi taida were put, and they were put on top of there so everyone could see it. So now regarding this statement of Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara quotes again from the Mishnah that says that these two breads were psulis, they were invalid. So the Gemara asks, am I psulis? Why were they invalid? In which some Girsais have the version that says that how did it happen that every year they should have the carbon tumid, that their breads were going to be posel on Erev Pesach, because it sounds like that these two breads that were there were prepared. And how is it that they were posel? How could it be that this was the sign they used every Erev Pesach, that the lechem etayt the posel? Generally don't allow karbanis or their lechem, their breads, to become posel. So how is it that this was always there, that they used this as a sign to indicate when you have to stop eating and when you have to start burning the chametz? So Amr B'chinin explains that the reason why this phenomenon happened was mitoch shehem rubos, since there were so many of these breads of the Karban Toida on the 13th of Nisan, because whoever had a Karban Toida to bring when they would come up for the Yomtiv of Pesach would bring it on the 13th of Nisan, and therefore Nifsalas Belina, they would become puzzled in being left over the entire night when it would reach the morning of the 14th. And that is regarding the breads of the Karban Toida. There were 40 breads, and 10 of them were chametz, as the Pasuk in Vayikra Zayin says, that on the Chalos Lechem there was chametz. So therefore there were so many breads, and so many people were bringing these Karban Toida, and therefore there was not enough people to consume it, and therefore since they brought on the 13th, when they came to the 14th of Nisan, they were already possible, because they couldn't finish it in time. And therefore they were there available to be used as the sign of not being eaten, rather being left there, as to be used as a sign of when the Zman of chametz it goes till. The Tanakh learned the Braisa, which shows this idea that there were so many breads that would become possible, because Eimavim Toid B'Chag HaMatzos. The halach is that one cannot bring a Karban Toid on the entire Yom Tov of Pesach, and the reason is Nechamet Shabbat, because there's chametz, meaning one of the four types of the breads that were brought were chametz, 10 out of the 40, and therefore you can't bring it on Pesach, which is when chametz is asa, to which we had asked, Pshito, it seems pretty obvious you can't bring this Karban Toid if it has chametz on Pesach. On that, Rav Adba Hava said that Hocha B'Yudal Raskin, when the Brice is saying you cannot bring the carbon Toida on Pesach, it doesn't mean on Pesach itself. It means on Erev Pesach, on the 14th of Nisan, that then you cannot bring it. And why is that? Because they held that you cannot bring Kachim to the place where it's going to become invalid. And that is, you can't bring a carbon on a day when it's going to minimize the amount of time that it normally could be eaten that the Torah had designated for it. Because then it's going to become tonight, it's going to be left over, they're not going to be able to finish it in time. And our Karban Toida is generally eaten, as the Torah tells us, for the day that it's brought and the following night. But if you bring it on the 14th of Nisan, it's not going to be able to be eaten from the breads that are chametz only up until the sixth hour in the day, and therefore you're minimizing the time that's forbidden to do, and that's why you can't bring it even on the 14th of Nisan. And therefore, hence, V'kuli Alma b'shlei shasamaisu. So therefore, everyone would bring it on the 13th of Nisan. In other words, whoever had to bring a Karban Toida would bring it on the 13th, because you can't bring it the next day, and definitely not on Pesach. So therefore, they had to bring it on the 13th. And therefore, Mertech Shem Merubah, since there were so many Karban Toidas being brought on the 13th of Nisan, Nisolos Belina, they would become invalid by being left over the entire night, because there weren't enough people to consume it. And therefore, they would become possible, again, because they didn't have enough people to eat it. Now, because these breads were puzzle and just sitting there, so therefore they would put it over there to be used as a sign, because if they were kosher breads of Toida, then they wouldn't put it there, because then you'd be actively making it puzzle by just leaving it there, and it would be left there the entire time as these were used as a simon to say when we stop eating the chametz and when you have to stop burning the chametz. So that's why they used davka, lachmei Toida, that were puzzle, and they had an abundance of them, as we explained. But we wouldn't use lachmei Toida that were kosher, again, because that would be invalidating it, and we do not want that to happen. We want it to be consumed and not have the psul of lina, of bringing something kosher from the base ha-psul. So that's the first version of our Mishnah, why and how we had these lachmei Toida that were puzzle, that were used as the sign to say up until when one can eat, which is when they remove one, and then up until when you can toilin, that you can have enough from it, and when you begin burning is when you take away the second one. Another version to explain the halach of our Mishnah, Mishum Mibyani Amru, Kesheris Hayu. In truth, they were kosher lachmei Toida. And that is that even if it didn't have such a great invalidation like Lina, that it was left over the entire night, which is already prepared to be burnt, in spite of that, since these breads, as the Gemara will explain in a moment, did not have any way for it to be consumed, even though it still needs what's called Iber Tsuro, that means it has to be done over, it has to lose its composition, still they would place these breads over there by the Beis HaMikdash to be used as a sign. Now, Ve'elo Amaykar Luhu Psula, so then why were they called Lachmei Toida that were invalid, if you're telling me that they essentially were valid, they just didn't have a way to be eaten, is Shalei Nishchat Alein HaZevach, is because the Karban Toida has two components. There's the carbon, that the animal, and then there's the breads that brought with it. And what we're talking about over here are breads that the carbon itself, the animal, was not slaughtered. And as Rashi explains, therefore that gives the breads a kedushas damim. It gives it monetary sanctity, and that's from when you actually create the hekdesh. However, there is no permission to go ahead and consume the breads until the carbon, the animal itself, was slaughtered and you spray the blood on by the mizbeach. Only then will it be permitted to be consumed. That is because the breads of the Torah do not have and acquire a kedushas haguf, a bodily sanctity, only by the slaughtering of the carbon itself. As the Gemara Menachos demonstrates, it says in the Pasuk, Al chalis lechem chametz, on the breads of chametz, yakav karbon al zevach, that you will slaughter the carbon that we're talking about, that teaches that the breads do not become holy only with the slaughtering of the carbon tithe. Now, Rashi explains, regarding the Gemara Menachos, that obviously when it says that this kedusha that the breads only get after you slaughter and you slaughter the carbon tithe is regarding the kedusha saguf. Because as Rashi says, from the moment that you say Harei Eilu L'Taidasi, that these breads are for the Karban Taida, it already acquires a monetary sanctity. It already gets a Kedusha. However, it does not acquire a Kedusha to become invalid by being left overnight or with a Tful Yoim, or if it becomes Tame, you could still redeem it and it will be deconsecrated Tfechulin until the carbon is slaughtered on them. And therefore, that's what our Gemara is saying, that just like the carbon sanctifies it when it's slaughtered, so too with the throwing of the blood, with the Zrika, then they become Mutter in consuming them like the flesh of the Taida itself. And that is, since the Pasuk says that the breads of the Taida are dependent on the tithe itself. So it's like the carbon tithe itself, that just like the throwing of the blood permits the kachem to be consumed, as the Pasuk says, v'dam zebechecha yishafech, that you'll throw the blood of the carbon, and which later it says, v'habasatecha, then you'll eat the flesh. And therefore, that's the case that we're talking about over here. In truth, you don't have to say like the Gemara had just said before, they were talking about that they were actually invalid by being left overnight. In truth is, they did not have any psulim of intrinsic psul like lina. So what are we talking about? Really, the lechem ksheris. But they're psul in the sense that you cannot consume it because the carbon was never slaughtered, and therefore the only way to consume it, the breads, is when to get a kedusha saguf, is when the carbon is slaughtered. And since it wasn't slaughtered, so you can't eat it. So then that's why we use it as something that to be left over there. But then the Gemara asks on this pshat of Rabbi Yanai, but then v'nishchet, go ahead and slaughter the carbon. What are you doing leaving the breads over there? Oh, because you didn't slaughter the carbon yet, and therefore using it as a sign, but you're going to ultimately have to burn it. Go ahead and slaughter the carbon, and you can go ahead and eat the breads. Why would we want it to go to waste? And that the Gemara says, Sha'avad HaZerach, the carbon is lost. And if it's lost, you can't slaughter it, and that's why we're using these breads. But then the Gemara asks, V'naisi Zevach Acha V'nishchet. So bring a different, get a different animal, designated to be the carbon taida, and then you could use these breads for that carbon taida. And then the Gemara says, no, you can't do that. The Amar Zu Toide B'Zulachim. It's talking about a case when the person designated the carbon Toide and its breads, he said, this is going to be the carbon Toide, and these are going to be its breads. Okay, the Rabbah, as Rabbah had said, Amar Rabbah, of HaLechem, again, there's these two components of the carbon Toide. There's the animal and the breads. If someone loses the breads, maybe Lechem Acher, he could bring other breads for that animal sacrifice of the carbon Toide. However, of the Toide, which is the case that we're discussing, if the animal itself, the carbon toida, gets lost, ain maybe toida acheris, you cannot bring a different animal to be used as a carbon toida for those breads. And rather, what you do with those breads is either you redeem it, and then they're yurtz lechulin, and you use it then for either one or the other of the animal or for the breads of the carbon toida. But you can't actually go ahead and replace another animal for those breads. My time, what's the reason? Why is it that the difference between the breads and the animal? Because lechem glal toida, the breads are brought because of the carbon toida. And since it's set and established to this carbon, it becomes invalid for being used for any other carbon. Rather, what you do is you sell it, as we said before, and you use the money to buy either a carbon toida or other breads. However, ve'in toida glal lechem, the carbon toida is not brought because of the breads, because the ikra part of the carbon is the animal sacrifice itself. And therefore, if the breads are lost, you could bring other breads to be a tuffle, to be attached to the carbon itself. And that's why, again, that's why once the animal is lost, we can't go ahead and get another animal, because we said zu toida v'zu lachma, and therefore we're stuck. So although it's not essentially a psul, as Rabbi Yana's pshat is saying regarding the lechem psulis, however, there's nothing we could do about it, and therefore we use it as a sign to be left there, because we cannot consume it anyway. Then the Gemara asks, but v'nifrikinu, redeem them, v'nafkin l'chulin, and then let these breads be removed to chulin, because as long as we never created, as we're saying now, because we didn't slaughter the carbon taida, we did not create a kedushas haguf on these breads, so as we said before, then it still has the option of being redeemed. And since there's a takana for it, why should we be mafsid these kachim and waiting till the zman of chametz comes? It's like a ticking clock, and we're waiting and just watching it there being used as a sign. Why? Redeem it, because we said it wasn't slaughtered yet, so you could still do it. You could still redeem it. It doesn't have a kedushas haguf, it just has monetary sanctity. Sell it off and then use it for whatever you want to use it. Why make it getting lost? So the Gemara agrees to this question. Ella, rather, the case that we're talking about over here, why they're in this limbo, that they're not essentially a psulis haguf, but however you can't use them, is la'ilim shenishchet alein hazevach. The truth is that the carbon was slaughtered, and therefore there's nothing to do about it now anymore, because this is an integral component. You can't use another carbon because it was already brought as the same sacrifice, which was slaughtered. However, v'nishpach adam, the blood was spilled out, and therefore now it's, so to speak, stuck. Because it doesn't yet need to be burnt yet. Rather, it still needs to first have what we called before ibur tzura, that has to lose its form. As the Mishnah in Ketz Tzoylin tells us, that anything that has a psul in the guf of the animal, in the body, that gets burnt right away. And therefore, that's what we would do right away. We would totally eliminate this. However, if it's in the blood or in the owner, that requires what's called tu'ubar tzirosai. That is, it has to first lose its form, and then it goes out to be burnt. And therefore, in this case, we degrade these breads, and we bring it over there, because it's something that is not yet roh for sreifa, because it was only a psul in the dam, because the blood was spilled out. It wasn't a psul in the breads itself. These are kosher breads to be used. If we had the bloods and we poured it, we could use the breads. So it's not yoyis lebeis, it doesn't get burnt yet. However, it's in a situation which we have to wait to lose this form, and that's why, since we cannot consume it, because you don't have the bloods that were poured to make it kosher to eat, and therefore we leave it there and using it as a sign, because again, although according to the Peshat of Rabbi Yehuda, they're not psulis in the breads themselves, however they're psulis in the sense that we have nothing to do with them, because we can't bring it and we can't consume it, and there's nothing left, so that's why we use it as the sign in the Beis Hamikdash. Another Gemara says, Ukamat, who is the statement like that you said, that it's something interesting, that the slaughtering of the carbon was done already, and therefore, hence you're saying that it has a kedushas haguf, that you cannot redeem it anymore, because that was the Gemara's question, you should be able to redeem it. However, it's still not going to be fit to be used. In other words, it's somewhere in the middle, just with shechita alone, just with slaughtering, is enough to make it a kedushas haguf. Again, not to consume, because that requires a zrika, but it's enough to make it that now you cannot go ahead and do a pidyon on it. Because monetary sanctity you could redeem, but when it has a physical sanctity, you cannot redeem it. Who's art like? And that the Gemara says, Kerebi, that's like Rabbi Dami, Rabbi, and the Rabbi says, Shnei Devarim Hamartirim. The two items that are used, that are necessary, that are integral to permit a carbon to be eaten, to be consumed, which are slaughtering, which is shechita and zrika, spraying the blood, which they permit the carbon and all the things that depend on the carbon, which is in our case of the breads of the taida, malin, they can elevate a certain level to have at least a kedushas haguf, a physical sanctity, ze b'loy ze, one without the other. In other words, although it doesn't even become permitted to be consumed and to be used until it has both the slaughtering and the zrika, however, if either one is done, that would be enough at least to create a physical sanctity, which will, in our case, remove the possibility of doing a pidyon, and therefore, as in the case of our breads, they're stuck because there's nothing you could do about it. It's not going to be able to be permitted because the blood was spilled out, and it also cannot be redeemed because it had already attained the kedushas haguf just with the slaughtering. The time, like we learned the brisa, kivsei atzeres, the lambs that are brought on shavuos, ein mekadshin es alechem ela b'shechita. It only sanctifies the bread if at least it's shechita only up until, in other words, only when shechita is done. But however, we do see that just the slaughtering alone is enough to create a kedushas haguf in the breads. And that is because the shtei halachim, the two breads of shavuos, are dependent on the two kivsei shlamim, the two sheep, the lambs that are brought as a carbon shlam, as the pasuk in Vikuchav Gimel says. It says, v'shnei chavasim b'nei shana lezevech shlam, the two sheep that are brought on shavuos as a carbon shlam. And then it says, v'heinef ha-koyin oisem alechem ha-bikurim, that they're brought by the breads of the bikurim, tenufa levnei Hashem, they're lifted up in front of Hashem. And we learn from the lachmi taida that they only become sanctified with the slaughtering of the carbon, as it's taught in Menaches and Perkat Chelis. The same thing applies to the lachmi taida of the carbon shlam. So the Braisa demonstrates this halacha that it attains a Kedushas HaGuf just with slaughter. In other words, before the slaughtering, it doesn't have a Kedushas HaGuf. When it's slaughtered, it has a Kedushas HaGuf. However, it doesn't attain yet the heter of consuming the bread, only up until this week, but it has at least that Kedushas HaGuf, that piece which we're creating in our Sugya Verbiana, that you get stuck. Ketzer Hauso. Shachtan Lishman, if the lambs of the carbon shuis, which is what the lachmitay, which is the shteha lechem of shuis are dependent on, they were slaughtered in their proper way for the sanctity of the kivse atzeres, and bezarg dam lishman, and they also sprayed the blood for the sanctity and for the namesake of the kivse atzeres, then kiddush alechem, then it attains a complete kiddushas alechem that you can now go ahead and eat the shteha lechem. Shachtan shaloy lishman, bezarg dam shaloy lishman. Let's say you slaughtered not for the sake of the kivse atzeres, let's say for some other carbon, and you also sprayed the blood not for its sake, then like kiddush alechem, then the bread does not attain any sanctity because it never became a kosher carbon for the sake of the kivsets of the shtei halechem to be able to be consumed. However, and this is the case that we're demonstrating this halacha, let's say shachtan lishman, it was slaughtered for the sake of the kivse atzeres, but vizark dam and shaloy lishman, but then the blood was sprayed for the namesake of a different carbon. Then what we have over here is this situation where you're in this catch 22, which is lechem kaddish. The bread becomes holy in the sake of that it will become pasul if it's taken out of the perimeter of the area that's allowed to be in, and also that one cannot redeem it anymore. But ve'ein kaddish, but it's not holy in the sense of that it's not permitted to be eaten yet, because again there was no zrika done. Divri, and the reason why it wasn't any zrika done because it was done shalei lishman, divri Rebbe, this is the opinion of Rebbe. Now, as Rashi says, although essentially the lamb themselves are permitted to be consumed, as the Gemara says, because any carbon that was slaughtered not for its sake is kosher. It's just that it's not what's called olah b'ayin l'shem chayva. It's not, will not fulfill the obligation of the owner that it needs, as the Gemara says in the second parak of Masechtas Beya, that the lambs of Shavuos which are slaughtered shaloi lishman, the blood could be sprayed and the meat could be eaten. That's only that the carbon could be eaten, because essentially they don't become any more kivse atzeres. Then suddenly we look at them as regular shlamim. But the breads, since these are not anymore, so to speak, kivse atzeres, it loses its name. So, as we said, because it's loy ol l'bayim shem chayva, these karbanos are not anymore seen as fulfilling the chiv of the kivse atzeres. Rather, they're shalman nedava. So what is going to be permitting the breads? The breads are no more a component of this carbon because we don't view them anymore as kivse atzeres. We view them as carbon shlamim. And that's why, in these cases, although the carbon actually will be permitted, the breads will not be permitted because the breads are dependent on kivse atzeres, and so to speak, kivse atzeres were never brought. It was karban shlamim that was brought. But again, this is the opinion of Rebbe, which is demonstrating the halacha that we had said from Rabbi Yannai, which is in a specific case where the carbon was slaughtered, but the blood was spilled out. And Rebbe's opinion is that slaughtering, although it's not permitted up until you have also the zrika, is enough to create a kedushas haguf. So you're already stuck, but you're not permitting it yet to be eaten because it didn't have the zrika. And therefore, you cannot redeem it anymore. You cannot do pidyon because it already went up from the madrega of kedushas damim to kedushas haguf. And that's why we're calling these breads lechem psulis, although that, as Rabbi Yannai has explained, they're really ksheiros. There's no psul in the breads themselves. If you would have blood, you could spray it and use the breads. They're psul in the sense that they're stuck, and therefore, since there's nothing to do with them, we leave them there as a sign. However, the Gemara continues that Braisa and says that Rebelazar, Reb Shimon Omer, he argues on Rebbe. He says, La'ilam in the Kodesh HaLechem, the bread does not attain any physical sanctity, at sheyishchot lishman v'yizrik dam lishman, until you slaughter it in its name and you also spray the blood for its name. And therefore, he argues on Rebbe and he says that no, it does not attain the Kedushas HaGuf until the Zrika is done properly also. However, Rebbe Yannai was going as the opinion of in the opinion of Rebbe, as we clearly demonstrate that, and that's why again it's called psulis, because it was slaughtered but it wasn't sprayed the blood. And that the Gemara says no. Afilatem Reb Lazar Reb Shimon, you could even say that this pshat of Reb Yannai, which we're explaining, that it was slaughtered but the blood wasn't sprayed, and that's why these lachmi toida are stuck, and that's why we're calling them quote unquote psulis, even though they're not really psulis, could even be going like the other opinion of the Braisa, like Reb Lazar Reb Shimon, not just like Rebbe. Because Hach Ma'eskina, the case that we're talking about, which is Rabbi Yannai's explanation of our Mishnah, which is the story that Rabbi Yehuda brought, is Kegenshin Eskabel Hadam B'Koyis V'Nishbach. That the blood didn't just entirely spill out. First, it was received in a cup, as it usually is. Then the blood spilled out. And Reb Elazar Reb Shimon Sava LeKavur. Reb Elazar Reb Shimon holds like his father Reb Shimon, which is brought in Baba Kama in Perek Meruba Daf Ayin Vav Mabeis, the Amad that his father says, Kala Oymid Lizrik, whatever is standing, in other words, it's prepared to be sprayed, which means that the only thing you're missing is the act of spraying, Kizarik Dami, it's like it's already sprayed. Hence, it already acquires the a term, a name, a definition of being called Psule Kachi Kachim, because it already, we view it as if it was thrown. If it was already thrown, slaughtering was done to it, and throwing was done to it. So hence, it does have a Kedusha Zaguf. However, obviously, it's not going to be permitting the Lach Mitayda, because if it was permitted, then it wouldn't fit for our case, because then we wouldn't leave it as used as a sign to say up until when you can eat chametz of the fourth hour and the fifth hour that you're tayling, because then you could consume it if it was, quote-unquote, as it was sprayed. We only view it as if Ke'ilu Zarek, as if it was sprayed, in the sense of to make it into this Kedusha Zaguf, because we view it virtually as if it was. However, actually permitting it to be eaten requires an actual Zrika, and therefore, Reb Elazar Reb Shimon could be holding like this interpretation that we had said in Reb Yanai, because ultimately we view it halachically like a zrika enough to make it a Kedusha Zaguf, to now that saying that it is possible in the sense that you cannot do a pigeon anymore, and therefore it's not just like Rabbi, it could even be like Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. Now regarding the statement that Yehuda said in the Mishnah regarding what they had done in the Beis HaMikdash to show the sign, everybody should know up until when you could eat it by leaving these two breads, and then they take away one, and then they take away the second one. So the Gemara brings a Brayis Satana that we learned, Mishurim Reb Elazar Amri, the name of Reb Elazar, they said, Kesheris Hayu, that these Lach Mitayda were kosher breads, that is, that they were kosher, as long as they were left there, everybody would eat. They would know that you could still eat. They see the two breads of chametz over there. When one of them was taken away, then they would suspend it, which is and they wouldn't eat any more chametz, but they wouldn't burn it. They would be able to feed it to the animals. They would be able to have hanah from it. When both breads would be taken away, and then everyone would begin burning, they would know that's the simen over there to be able to be done. Tanya, within the Braisa, a little bit different of a sign, not as we had demonstrated in our Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda, that it was breads that were used as a sign, the Lach Mitayda, rather something else. Abishalom says, we continue on top of Yudalam and Aleph, Shtei Paris Hayecharshes. There were two cows that were plowing that day on Yudal and Nisan as a sign, Bahar Mishcha, on what's called Har HaZeisim, the Mount of Olives. Kol Zman Shtei Hayecharshes, as long as both of them were plowing, Kol Am Oichlin, everybody would eat. Nitla Achasman, when one of the cows were taken away, Toilin, they would be suspended, which is Lo'ichim Le'i Servant, they wouldn't eat and they wouldn't burn. When both of them were taken away, then everyone would begin burning. Again, a different sign, but essentially the same halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, which is that at the end of the fourth hour, that's when we stop eating. And then the fifth hour is when we stop the halacha of Toilin, which you can't have Isra, you can't have Hanah from it anymore. And that's when the sixth hour begins, is when we begin to burn the chametz.